Exodus chapter number 32. We're going to just look at a little thought here this evening. And kind of like to look at, you know, some of the offbeat stuff and something that just kind of sticks out. It's like, why is that there like that? It you know, tends to have a little bit more interesting stuff to it than what we normally assign to it. So once you have found your place, if you're able to, again, let's please stand. And we'll read the first five verses here in Exodus chapter number 32. And the Bible says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." You'll notice there in verse number 2, Aaron said to break off the golden earrings, which are in your ears. I'd like to bring our sermon real quickly here this evening on this little thought of, why did he ask for the earrings? Why did he ask for the earrings? Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, once again for all that you've done for us. And we do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. And ask, Father, please, to help me to present the word the way that you'd have me to, that it would be a help to each and every one that's gathered here today. We pray, Father, for all the prayer requests, Lord, that you'd take care of them as you see fit. And that you'd touch little Naya's body there in St. Mary's, that everything that is just going wrong with that poor little child there will get straightened out, and she'll be able to go home to her parents as quickly as possible. Yes. And we do pray, Lord, for our church here 29th, that we will begin to grow and be the Christians that you'd have us to be. Help us, Father, please, to be obedient to you. We love you, Father, and we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our brother, our Savior, our High Priest, and our soon coming King. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, I see something that just sticks out like a sore thumb to me. And it's like, why is that there? And you look at it, and I understand that if you've read through the previous dozen or so chapters here in the book of Exodus, you understand that God has given the plans for the tabernacle, and that there's all the furniture. It's going to be requiring a massive amount of gold. But Aaron doesn't know that. Aaron has no clue whatsoever about those requirements there. So why ask for the golden earrings that they have in their ears? Would seem that he would just say, "Hey, why don't you all fork over some of that extra gold that you plundered out of Egypt, and we'll put something together." But he asked for the earrings. And I believe that if we will take an honestly look here at this passage of Scripture, we're going to see a little bit of a illustration as to why it was the earrings that he asked for. Why something that would be possibly a bit more difficult for them than just simply reaching in their pocket and saying, "Here's a bunch of gold coins, take these." Number one, I want you to notice here in verse number one that those earrings stood for the delusion of who did what. It says here toward the latter half of the verse, "Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him." We don't know what happened to that turkey. What they're doing here is they're assigning the responsibility for them having been led out of Egypt to a mere mortal man. Moses is the one who did everything. It was Moses, Moses, Moses. And it's absolutely amazing when you think about the Israelites and how they really couldn't stand him because of what all they had to go through there during that time of the 10 plagues. And then coming out, and now they're wandering through the wilderness here and need water. We need food. They got mad at him left and right. But yet, a couple of hundred years later, he was the man. They practically worshiped this guy.
Mom.
But here they are now. You know, they've gone from hating him to simply saying, hey, he was the one who led us out here, and he's been gone for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, what gives? You know, Moses obviously couldn't get the whole job done. He's done abandoned us. And they missed the idea that it's not Moses that led them out. Moses was simply a tool that God used.
Yes.
If you're taking notes, you'll note that while it is your writing that you are putting down there on the paper, your education to know how to draw the words out the way they are, but you're using the pen to do it. The pen is not actually writing.
Right.
The pencil is not actually writing. Mind. It is your hand, your mind that is doing it. Don't, it would be misspeaking to say that the pen did it.
Right.
No, we're doing it. Moses was a tool. But they were under this delusion that it was Moses. You'll note that they asked to make us gods which shall go before us. And I see here that they are dancing with sin. And it's been said that when you dance with the devil, you don't change the devil. The devil changes you.
Yes, come on.
And here they are. They say, hey, make us some gods. It was one God that delivered them out of Egypt.
Right.
And you study it out there. And the last time I checked, I found that there were over 90 different gods there down in Egypt. One God took out over 90 different gods. And let me just say, those gods were specialized as to what they would do. They would cross over. Okay, don't misunderstand me. They'd have a God for taking care of the river, and the God, and that same God, he would do the falling of leaves, and that same God would also have the three-quarter phase of the moon. And then you'd have this God over here, and he would have responsibility for all of the moon, you know, all the phases, and taking care of the fish that were in the river and the corn over here. And they would cross over a little bit like that. But when it came down to it, you'd get someone like Ra, who was the god of the noonday sun, the hottest sun there is, the strongest god, therefore, that there was. He specialized in that, but they had gods to do it. But yet all 10 of those plagues made every last one of their 90 plus gods impotent.
Yeah.
Showed that they couldn't get the job done. And what did they ask Aaron to do? Go make us some gods. Gods. You know, if you read this, you find out he only made one. He made a golden calf, not golden calves. They asked for more than one. They got one. But when you dance with the devil, you don't get what you want, do you? Things don't tend to work out your way.
Yes.
I want you to know that not only is it the delusion of who did what, the dancing with the sin, but in verse number 2 we see the disappointment to their families that those earrings represented. It says here, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. Tim, I'm going to borrow your family real quick here. So please, don't get upset with what I'm about to say. Let's say precious little Emily, she's got on some beautiful earrings. Matches Mama's beautiful earrings. And there's little Josiah, happy as can be, and he's got earrings in his ears as well. Oh, by the way, Daddy's got earrings in his ears as well too. And Aaron says, Tim, I want you to take the earrings from your wife, from your son, and from your daughter, and give them to me. Did you notice that I missed somebody there? Daddy didn't have to give up nothing. Daddy, you get to keep yours, but your family has to sacrifice. Your family has to surrender something that's precious to them.
That'd be a little bit of a disappointment to them. He got to keep his. They didn't. They had to give up. They had to surrender.
You say, well, wow, it's a good thing that the kids ain't got earrings. Good thing Tim ain't got no earrings. But what are we sacrificing spiritually of our family so as that one person can keep what they want to keep?
Come on.
Being a little bit of a disappointment to the family. Mama's sitting there saying, well, my kids are going to have to do without so that I can have. My husband has to do without so that I can have. It happens all around the world all the time, and it happens inside of the church houses. Because we don't quite grasp the idea that we're being a disappointment to our loved ones when we're being just at least a little bit selfish. But that's what's being shown here, church. But at the same time, he's asking for those golden earrings. I want you to know that it's also a desecration of a gift from God. Let's not forget the fact, church, that these were Israelite slaves. They had nothing. When God ordered them out of Egypt, he said, spoil the Egyptians, they spoiled the Egyptians. Those earrings were a blessing from God. The gold, the sapphires, the rubies, everything that they had was a gift from God. Right. And they turn around and they said, hey, here's the gold. Make us some false gods.
Come on.
Desecrating what God had given them.
Say it, preacher.
And Aaron was willing to let them see it. But they missed the forest for the trees. May I say, down in verse number 3, we find that it's all done in their own strength. And all the people broke off the earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. Now, all the studying I've done seems to indicate that Aaron, it's believed, may have been trying to buy time. He may have been hoping that the people would see how ludicrous of an idea that was. Oh, give me your golden earrings instead of the gold in your pocket. And they'd say, wait a minute, slow down. Hold on, let's not be too hasty. It didn't work that way, church.
Right.
The people were more than willing to do it in their own strength. Oh, hey, here you go. Here's the earrings. Take them. Go make us this God that's going to lead us. Where does God say, do it in your own strength in His Word? My strength is made perfect in weakness. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I don't read where God says, hey, you do it in your own strength and I'll bless.
Come on.
Don't happen. Verse number 5, and we'll close with this. I want you to see the decline of God's people being represented by giving over those earrings. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Call it what you will. You can put lipstick on a pig. You could do it, make this thing just look as party as possible. They engraved on it. They polished it up. They made this calf look great. But really all they did was most likely, I can't say it 100% sure, but most likely all they did was copy an Apis bull. It's APIS for those who are taking notes. The Apis bull was one of those gods that they had down there in Egypt. And whenever that bull would die, they would take and find a calf that matched all 20-some qualifications to be the next Apis bull and put it in place. And they would take the dead Apis bull and they would incinerate the body. And it's believed that those ashes from that incinerated Apis bull was the same ashes that God told Moses to take and throw in the air and caused an outbreak of boils. They took, and because they could not see God, they went with the familiar.
Come on.
We know the Apis bull. We may not have ever seen Ra. We may not have ever seen Osiris or any of these others, but we've seen the Apis bull. So that's what we're going to make our God to look like. And I like how Aaron tried to justify it by saying tomorrow's a feast to the Lord. Wow. Which way did that spirit go that just slapped God upside the head there? Was it this one or was it just a good old backhand? Here's an apis bull, but I'm going to slap you, God.
Right.
It's the decline of God's people being talked about here, church. I'm not preaching against earrings. What I'm preaching against is us trying to do things without God.
Right.
I've got just one question and a statement here for you this evening in closing. What intentions does the enemy have for you? Satan loved what these people were doing because he knew it was leading them away from God, and a bunch of them were fixing to die because of it. My statement is this: if the enemy wants something near our head, we better turn to what is dear to our heart instead. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, and we do pray that everyone here was able to get exactly what they need out of this message. And help us, Father, please, to be obedient to you.
Help us.
We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.